Good day, everybody, and welcome back to Ripples, our podcast from the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine. I am your host, Dr. Adriana Durich, and this is our co-host, Dr. Vina Prasad. Today, we're recording a special episode. It's been almost a year since we started producing this podcast. Yep, and today is the last episode of season one. Believe it or not, right? Hard to believe. We have created 9 powerful and interesting episodes to discuss and promote your personal wellness. Today, as fellow members of the wellness team that includes our assistant dean for wellness, Dr. Coran, we're reflecting on the 9 pebbles that we left with you after each episode. The pebbles, again, are 9 actions that you can take to increase your well-being. And remember, what you do for yourself not only helps enrich your life, it creates powerful ripples into the life of others. Very fittingly, in our first episode, we had Dr. Coran talking about the personal rituals that allow him to find some balance between home life and work. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
It's hard to imagine we're at the end of our first season.
It's so exciting that we are almost through the first season.
Yes.
And I just want to say before we ask you, John, is your episode has been heard and has been very popular, this particular.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a powerful one. You actually gave us great advice. So I want to play the pebble back for our listeners to get a, you know, reminder.
Very good.
Yes.
I would invite each individual who is listening to this podcast, try to create your own coming home ritual. It doesn't have to be exactly like mine, but find a way to draw a line between what is your workday and what is your home time. And we understand increasingly that there's no true thing as work-life balance. We talk about something called work-life integration. And so we know that there's times where you'll have to do work while you're at home and times when things happening at home and, you know, intrude upon your time at work. But as much as possible, try to limit the time you're doing your work once you get home, if at all possible, because you really need to spend that time focusing on those people who are in your home. I can promise you that that will provide so many wonderful ripples in your life, for your families, for your wife, for husband, for your children, than being on your phone, checking your work emails. I think our next pebble from Dr. Prasad provided us with a very powerful tool, one interestingly best used when we're having bad days, like any of us actually ever has a bad day.
Never. That doesn't happen.
But that said, if on a rare occasion you have a bad day, this is a really powerful tool to use. So let's listen.
Actually, I have been pondering over this. What are some things? What is one pebble? So that's what got me thinking. So I call this just one thing. And it's a technique for refocusing. The idea is based on positive reframing and offering loving kindness or metta. John, just you mentioned when you get 2 seconds and you have that as well, maybe he's in a hurry. That's metta. So it probably can be experiential. Just imagine that you have had a day, well, nothing went right, right? Just feel that emotion when you have that. Now, I ask you just one thing. Did you have one good experience, something good on that day? For example, I had this. I had a day, everything went wrong. And then I was standing in line. And that day I happened to meet a friend I hadn't seen in 15 years. Maybe standing 3 hours helped me meet this friend. Then suddenly I said, yeah, just one thing. That immediately the anger, frustration, everything comes down. And then let's use the same example at work. It happens to us all the time. Actually, it happened. Someone asked me about this yesterday. God, they were so impatient. Nothing really worked yesterday. And I said, okay, just one thing, remember? And I said, what was one thing that person may have done in the past? Immediately the response was, you know, last time when I was on call, they brought me snacks and they said, well, I'll get you a cup of coffee. Why don't you go take about half an hour of relaxation, go get a walk. And immediately the reaction wasn't so bad. This is all to trick our mind. When we can train our mind to focus on one good thing or one good quality a person has, we don't worry about all the negative things that's going on. It's about us managing. It's about us finding that space and how we choose to react to that stimulus. So it is called just one thing. The next episode highlighted the importance of taking time for self-care. It's not selfish to take care of ourselves, but very essential part of being good at our patient care too.
Definitely. And I remember using the word radical, and I continue to stand behind that word because for me, radical means you really have to look into your values. You really have to look into what's important to you and what works for you for self-care. So I think we should listen to that one again.
Very true. And I really want us to pay attention. You brought value here. Why value is so important for self-care? And then we continue to observe values in our lives.
As it works so well for me, my invitation to everybody else is to practice radical self-care. And by radical self-care, I mean we need to first connect to those values and that meaning and figure out what we really need. I honestly get annoyed. I confess, I get annoyed when sometimes people say, oh, you need to practice self-care. You need to go do your nails, or you have to have your hair done. To me, going to get my nails done is torture, not self-care. That cannot be it. We have to figure out what works for you. I'm sure there are people that really appreciate spending 2 hours at the nail salon getting their nails done. Doesn't work for me. So self-care is not, you know, a preset formula that people can tell you, you have to go do this or you have to go do that. Self-care is about figuring out what re-energizes you, what helps you connect to who you are and your essence, and then practicing that. And by radical, I mean sometimes it's not what we want to do, but what we need to do. And sometimes we need to drop things out of our calendar to be able to practice that. Just yesterday, I was talking to a resident who was saying, I really enjoy doing this, but the place where an activity that this person really enjoyed, but the place is a little far from where I live, so it takes some time to drive there and some time to come back, so I dropped it. I'm not doing it anymore. And my question was, and what do you do with that time? If you don't dedicate it for yourself, that's the radical part of this. Who cares? You have nowhere else to be. Take care of yourself first.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe you can spend it reading one more page. Well, listen to something on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Another podcast, process. Like Ripples.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Listen to us. But definitely it takes a lot of intentionality.
Yes.
To be able to take care of yourself. And that's where the radical part of this comes in. It's not about doing your nails. It's about really taking care of yourself.
The next episode is one of my favorites too, because Dr. Schillerstrom brings out so many psychological concepts in such an easy manner. He talks about psychological flexibility, which he calls, we have to be malleable.
Yes.
And he talks about self-agency. That is, we have a choice. We have a choice to have a good day, or we can also have a choice of not making this a very good day. It's up to us. And biggest thing of all, he says empathy. And in his dictionary, there are no bad people. They're saying we have to learn to be with people and work with them. And it is such a powerful message. And we have been using this a lot among our residents.
Yeah, I know this is one of the more common issues that you deal with the residents is personal interactions and personal challenges with other peers or attending. So,
yeah.
This is a very critical episode.
When you think about it, we're spending so many hours under very stressful circumstances with people that can be very different to us. So it makes sense that personal relationships are a big, you know, thing to talk about. And it's so interesting that knowing Dr. Schillerstrom, we know that he puts into practice what he shares
with us. Oh, he does, absolutely. Yeah, such a delight to work with him. Yes.
I guess I would invite you to appreciate all the relationships in your life, to take advantage of all those relationships in your life, to be grateful for the low maintenance relationships, but also to be grateful and to embrace difficult relationships. Yeah, I think it's through the relationship building that resilience is obtained.
Another episode I think was really enjoyable was our episode with Dr. Carpenter, AJ Carpenter, who's a CT surgeon here. And I was taken with the fact that sometimes the deepest wisdom can be said really with just a few words. One of the things that I think she reminded us is that you can be important or powerful, but those don't necessarily bring us joy or even fulfillment in our lives. And I think she's a great personal example of that.
Yes, there are so many qualities that one can emulate from her. And on top of that, she also talked about community, her community of tennis, her community of running. And this is, again, coming to connections.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. I did listen to this episode with my daughter, and it was so powerful, like you said, John, to just hear in simple words, being happy is way more important than being special.
You know, in my life, I've been special and unimportant, but I've really learned that being happy is way more important than being special.
This episode coming up, I was actually super excited about. We invited Dr. Charpentier, who has been working with a UTSA football team. She introduced yoga, meditation, and the connection between mind and body into the training of these great athletes. And we know that they did an amazing job last year, went up to a new conference, and now they're doing a great job this year too. So we had a lot of questions to ask her. And surprisingly, to me at least, her pebble was about the importance of self-agency. I thought she was going to concentrate on meditation or yoga or these things, but she talked about self-agency. And then, like you say, Bina, then we see connections in other...
connecting. Yeah. Self-agency is a choice, mm-hmm. and different word, but same idea, yeah. right? And then also connections. And she yes. talked about connections, how to... Also connecting with our spirituality, she brought yes. it out, and it's, again, self-agency. Yes. How appropriate.
I also really liked the idea that there's so many parallels between elite athletes and medical residents yes. in terms of stress and training and performance. And so it was really neat to learn from her about a different perspective from a similar group of individuals.
Yes, very true. They have so many common things. Competition, trying to excel in what yes. they do.
And the expectations we put on them.
Sure.
And the risks of failure.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, I invite all the listeners to really dive into this concept of self-agency and be creative with it. So not only how do you incorporate self-agency into your own day, but I think you can even translate this over into your patient care. And so how do you implement self-agency with your patients? And it's really about giving them choices. So you have the option to walk in the room and tell a patient, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to get an x-ray, you're going to have blood work, you're going to have surgery, or you're going to go to physical therapy, whatever the options may be. But the way you involve your patient, allow them to be an active participant, then you just provide them with options, right? You know, Mrs. So-and-so, we could get an x-ray, we could do an injection, you could go to physical therapy. These are our options. What option feels best to you? And then allow them to be an active participant, but also make a choice that is going to make them feel the best. I think oftentimes, you know, our patients or our athletes, they do come in to see us and they already have an idea of how that session is going to go or what treatment they're actually looking for. This allows you to provide them a chance to use their voice.
So I have to say that as I look back over the entire year, I really think that one of the most powerful episodes that we've done this season addressed perhaps the most difficult topic of the year, which is suicide. And more importantly, on some level, the consequences for those that are left behind, both family members, but also peers, attendings, members of the community. And in this episode, I think Dr. Scott Jones really reminded us to really remember always that we're part of a community, that no one truly is alone. And isolated.
And it comes across when we talk to a resident, they keep an eye on each other, and sometimes they keep an eye on attendings. So it's a community. We are our brother's keepers. So yes. Powerful.
Yeah, I actually mentioned to residents and fellows that for many of them, they spend more time with their peers on service in the hospital than they do with their own families.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they probably know those individuals better than even at times their own families. And those are the people that are gonna be able to identify those at risk, those who are who've had a change in kind of their performance or their demeanor.
Yes. They can notice changes and they are there to help.
Yeah. Definitely. Yes. Definitely. Very powerful episode. I'm glad that he shared with us.
Yes.
Indeed. I think you've touched upon the key thing there. Being our brothers and sisters keepers. You know, we are responsible to be there for one another, to support one another. And frankly, even last time I was on inpatient service, when I see a resident that's just not quite looking themselves, to take the time to say, are you okay?
Yes.
And mean it and look them in the eye. And it's not that passing question. It's a I really care question.
So the next episode, Adriana, it's one of my favorite ones also. It talks about boundary, right? It addresses concept of boundaries, what makes us thrive in our role. And it's just not for us alone. It's also for the other person's well-being that we sometimes forget. We think it's only for me, but it's for the other person as well. And again, it talks about values about taking care of ourselves. And value about boundary. Why is it so important? How we connect to values makes it easier for us to observe our boundaries, no matter what type of boundary it is.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that was an important conversation. The more I work with clients and residents and fellows, the more this conversation shows up over and over again, because I think we have a long way to go.
Yes.
To learn more about
it's
boundaries.
It's constantly evolving process, right? Mm-hmm. We keep checking.
Yes. We're never done.
And for those of us in medicine, our boundaries are always being tested.
Yes.
Yes, true. Very yes. true. Yes.
Always mm-hmm. being tested. That's a great point right there. I invite everybody to start understanding boundaries as an expression of who we are, of our values, of ourselves. To start revisiting those emotions that might arise around boundary setting, right? Is this easy for me or not? This is the process of starting with that 75% that we were talking about, internal insight first, and then to be able to put them out in the world. And if you think that you might benefit from examining your boundaries more deeply, if you're a resident in our institution, please reach out to us and set an appointment with us. We would be happy to help you, happy to give you resources. If you're not part of our institution, you can always reach out to a mental health provider that can help you examine this. And I also recommend for everyone to read the wonderful book I mentioned at the beginning. It's called Boundary Boss by Terry Cole. The conversation on boundaries was so important that we continue talking about it with Dr. Curran, helping us clarify how we can set boundaries, healthy boundaries, in our professional life and the clinical setting. Because like you just said, John, boundaries in medicine are constantly tested. So this is a pebble that nobody should miss.
This is such an important topic, and I know some of our residents have listened to it, and they say this has been very helpful, especially the fact that how to say in a clinical setting when you are overwhelmed.
And also, I think it's important, again, to realize that sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself, for others, for your patients is to say no to some things so that you can then really spend your time and focus on the things that you've said yes to.
Yes,
absolutely.
Boundaries are really your expression of your commitment, not only to yourself, but to your patients, your peers, and your family. When you set appropriate boundaries for yourself, it allows you really to be present and focused, available and motivated on those things that you are going to do. They need your full attention on those commitments you've chosen to undertake. We all know that when people try to multitask, they do poorly on everything, right? And so, you know, pick the areas, as we talked about in your process, that really benefit you, benefit your goals, your vision, things you love to do, things that will help others, and then really, really take the time to be present and motivated to do those things.
At the end of the day, boundaries are not selfish. I think we have that misconception.
Yes.
At the end of the day, boundaries are an expression of who we are, and like you mentioned in your pebble, an expression of your commitment to what you do, to your patients, to your family. So it's actually very kind and very
beautiful. It's being authentic to yourself and to your patients.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Thank you all for listening, for following the podcast throughout this year. And especially, we hope you're taking care of yourself and paying attention to your wellness. We will be back next year with more information, more guests, and more pebbles for you to follow.
Yes. Thank you, John, and thank you, Vina, for being here with us, and thank you, everyone, for listening. We will definitely be back soon. But in the meantime, go create some ripples.